We do thank you, Heavenly Father, that you promise the one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we pray today that you so build our confidence that we are even clearer when we leave that he is indeed the Lord. And we ask this in the name of that same Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, how wonderful to see you. Welcome, Sir Margaret Lothbury. Thank you for coming. It must have been so tempting with the sun outside just to pause in a place where the sun is more obviously shining upon you. But it's great to see you here. You'll have seen on the pews something about Glory Mile, which is a marvelous opportunity for worship and extended ministry in a couple of weeks' time. Do take it away and look it up and come, which would be marvelous. May I read to you a few verses from Acts chapter 9? Acts 9 and beginning at verse 10. In Damascus, there was a disciple called Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias, yes, Lord," he answered. Seems so easy then, didn't it? If only it was always quite as easy as that. Never mind, we'll carry on. We're greatly encouraged. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he's praying. In a vision, he's seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he's done to your people in Jerusalem. And he's come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on his name." The Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. I'm so sorry I was late for the worship, which was so frustrating. We'd had the annual service for the Institute of Chartered Accountants here this morning, and I'd gone to say grace before their lunch. And it was just very hard to get these late middle-aged chartered accountants who are in a position to be able to lunch to move from the champagne reception to the food, even though there was lots of wine to go with the food. And I'd said to them, you know, "I've got to go at 1:02 after I said grace to one because I've got another service." Alas, it was nearly 1:15 before I was able to shoot out of the hall. So I am sorry, I'm not normally late for services, but I'm sorry I had to do that. Communication there didn't work. Sometimes there's more information needed, more communication given than you could want. I went with a friend to see a film at the Barbican not very long ago. Shouldn't have mentioned the name of the cinema, but never mind. I was his best man and godfather. Two of his children went to see a film he wanted to see I'd never heard of, and I realised afterwards I hadn't wanted to see it anyway. And we went in and bought tickets, and he said, I thought rather hurtfully, "Oh, you can get a concession at your age, can't you?" I said, "Oh, I'm sure I can't." And the lady said, "How old are you?" And with great shame, I acknowledged my age. "Oh, yes, you can have a concession." And gave me another thing. She said, "Quite a lot of our concession clients also," she said, "I hope you don't mind me saying this, find it difficult to sit through a whole film." "They often want to withdraw for a few minutes halfway through." I couldn't think what she was talking about at first. I thought perhaps there were drinks for the over 60s. I said, "Oh, well, that sounds very interesting." She said, "Well, there are a block of seats for people like you." near the door, so that if you need to go, you can go quietly. So I said, oh, I said, that's helpful. She said, here's a ticket for those seats. So I was deeply shamed as I went. I felt everyone was walking by and thinking, oh, yes, those are the old and incontinent. But who wanted to come and see this film? Anyway, sometimes there's not enough communication, sometimes there's too much. And communication is something I suspect most of us spend a lifetime getting right, whether it's with another human being, in an unexpected situation, or even with the Lord Jesus Christ. But good communication is key to building trust, as Ananias found on that day we've just read about. He was clearly someone who heard easily from the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw that in verse 10. But he was also someone, too, who got to that stage of communication that he felt able to be honest with the Lord Jesus. In verse 13, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he's done to your people. The Message version of the Bible, trying to capture the feel of this particular part of the exchange, has Ananias saying to the Lord, you can't be serious. You want me to do what? You can't be serious, surely. As if he was saying, I'm happy to take the odd risk for you, Lord Jesus, but this, going to see this chap Saul of Tarsus, is one step too far. Message version continues with him saying, everyone's talking about this man, the terrible things he's been doing, his reign of terror against your people in Jerusalem. And now he's turned up here, Ananias said to the Lord Jesus, who was, as he often is, unequivocal. Go, he says to Ananias. And whatever his misgivings have been, Ananias did exactly that. He'd been told enough by the Lord Jesus in that conversation that they'd had to take the risk of doing what he actually didn't want to do. After all, in verse 11, we see that he must have realized that Judas, the owner of the house in Straight Street where Saul was staying, had already taken a much bigger risk than he was being asked to take. In any case, God said this man, Saul of Tarsus, had already seen in a vision that a man called Ananias would come and pray for him, as we read in verse 12. And in verse 15, the Lord Jesus explained quite how central Saul was going to be in the Lord Jesus's next stage of plans. So by the time Ananias arrived at Straight Street, his attitude had changed. There was warmth as he greeted Saul as a brother, this man who'd run a reign of terror against believers of Jesus Christ. He calls brother Saul. There's a confidence as he says to him, the Lord Jesus, unequivocal about who Jesus is, and then prays. And this man, Saul, who became Paul, was both regained his sight and was filled with the Holy Spirit. And all this springs from the good communication that there existed between Jesus and Ananias. Well, he was clearly comfortable engaging with Jesus both directly and honestly. And because of this, he felt able to trust him, even when the task was not something he particularly wanted to take on. And thinking about Ananias' experience, all that had happened, all that had led to him being who he was that day, we can't help reflecting how each of us hears the Lord Jesus Christ, how effectively he and we communicate. So I had to think about how I usually hear him. How does he usually speak to me? How can I get better at hearing him? Am I really passionately committed to doing so? Am I secure enough in my relationship with him to say to him as Ananias did, you can't be serious. You're surely not asking me to do that. Is my trust in him growing? But it starts with you and me hearing Jesus. And he wants each of us to be able to do that just a little better before we leave today.